Hi. Happy Mother's Day. Welcome, everyone. I'm going to dive right in because we're a little short on time. But before I really get started, I had a dream last night. And it was a simple dream. I just dreamt that I was driving my car and I was running out of gas. And I was puttering along and I wasn't sure that I was going to make it to the next station. And I just had a sense this morning in worship that there's a few of us here today that have run out of gas, that you're not sure you're going to make it to the next station. And even if you make it, you're hoping to just get by. And I believe the word of the Lord for you today is that you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And he isn't just going to give you a few bucks worth of fuel, but he is going to fill you up to overflowing. He's going to give you more than enough and all that you need. And so let's just pray into that right now. God, I ask, Lord, for anyone here today who's felt like they're running on empty, like they just don't have what it takes, they're not sure they're going to make it, whatever that means. God, I pray right now that you would prove to them that you're more than enough. You would show them your faithfulness, your kindness, and your love for them. And God, I pray too, I add to Bert's prayer for mothers today. God, I pray for any women in our house, any families who are yearning for a child and have not been able to conceive. God, I pray for your provision. I pray for your miraculous power to come. God, I pray that this would be a month of conception in our house and that we would have a boom in February. And God, I pray over all the women who are pained right now over lost relationship with their children. God, you're a redeeming father. You work things together for your good. And so, God, I pray for your healing to come in these relationships. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. He's more than enough. He's more than enough today. He'll be more than enough tomorrow. He's more than enough. We are starting our descent in our Jesus series. We have just a couple more weeks left, and we are actually covering today that Jesus is the bread and the wine. And so if you were really confused when you walked in this morning and realized that we're going to take communion again, it's okay. We can stray from the sacred schedule of First Sundays. We can take communion again, and I give you permission to take communion tonight and tomorrow morning and just keep on taking it. So we are going to be taking communion together. If you are watching us online, I really encourage you because we're going to practice what I preach today, and so I encourage you, could you please get up and go get something that you can use as a substitute for bread and for wine in your living room today. And did everyone get one in the house? Raise your hand if you don't have one. Just a couple ushers, they're coming for you. Luke 22, verse 19. And he, speaking of Jesus, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Three of the four Gospels recount this Passover meal with the disciples. Then we're reminded of it again in 1 Corinthians, where Paul does a little correction to the Corinthian church, and he says, don't come to the table with divisiveness. Oh boy. And don't come to the table without any kind of reverence in your heart. But what he really wants to do is to remind us to come to the table, to come to the place of the bread and the wine. When I was little, in honor of Mother's Day, my mom recently told me a story that it was Communion Sunday, and I went here as a child, and we sat over here, and my mom did the overhead projector when it had, you know, the arm, and you had to slide the sheet back and forth. So we sat there, and I told her I wanted to take communion one Sunday, and she said, "Well, sweetie, I don't think you're ready." And my response to her was, "But I'm hungry too." So maybe I wasn't quite ready yet. The Lord's table is a special place. The bread and the wine is sacred. It's powerful. It's holy. You know, it's been debated for centuries. Is the bread his literal body? Does it transition into his big toe when we put it in our mouths? Well, maybe not quite that far, but it's not just symbolic either. So you're going to have to find a place somewhere in between those two, because it is a powerful thing for us to engage with. And when we come to the table, when we engage with the bread and the wine, I want to share four things that I believe happens at the table. The first thing is that we unload. We unload at the table. The second thing is the table is a place of meeting. It's a place of the presence of Jesus. The third thing is the table is a place of remembrance. And the fourth thing is a table is the place to be filled. Are you ready to go? Say amen. Amen. So come to the table. The table is a place to unload. The Johnson family dinner table is a place where we process our day. It's a place where we have to beg and barter for our kids to tell us anything that happened at school. What'd you do at recess? Nothing. What'd you do in math? Nothing. What'd you learn in history? Nothing. But eventually, we ask the right combination of questions, or maybe we just wear them down, and they start to process their day. They start to unload and unpack their day. The truth is, regardless of what your profession is, regardless of your stage in life, we all carry a lot. In the natural, we carry hectic schedules. We carry job deadlines. We carry work relationships. We carry our kids' sports schedules and their homework assignments. We carry the laundry, for crying out loud, the laundry. God have mercy. The groceries, they want to eat every day. Every day. There are so many things that we carry and we gather and we organize and we manage, but let me suggest that those are not the things that actually exhaust us. That's not what really weighs us down, but the truth is that all of us, whether we want to admit it or not, we're carrying around other loads and burdens that may not be visible to the natural eye. We're carrying all of the things that happened last week. We're carrying the time that I lost it with my kids. I'm carrying that relationship with a family member that's been difficult and hard to navigate. We're carrying disappointment and loss and pain. We're carrying frustration. We're carrying secrets. Things that we don't want other people to know about us. We're carrying our whole past of failures and shortcomings. We're carrying all of these things with us. But when we come to the table, we have the opportunity to unload, to lay it down, to let it go. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. We won't stay there long, but notice the past tense language. You have been healed. When we take a drink of the cup, it's not just a confession that I'm a sinner saved by grace. It's a confession that I'm a daughter of God and have been made righteous. I am clean and pure and holy in his sight. His blood lacks nothing. It covers me completely. And when I take a portion of the bread, it heals my shame and my guilt, my sadness, my pain, my physical body. The body of Jesus was broken so that we could be made whole. So when I come to the table, when I come to the bread and the wine, I get to unload. Let it go. It's too much for us to carry anyways. We come to the table and we unload. Second thing, the table is a place of presence. At the table exists the presence of Jesus. Now, I know when two or more are gathered, there he is with us. When we make a confession of faith, Jesus comes and he lives inside of us. So there's really never a time when the presence of Jesus isn't with us. But there's something that happens when we partake of the sacrament of the bread and the wine. Sacraments are churchy words, but they give a physicality to a spiritual principle. Baptism is a sacrament. The use of oil when we pray for someone, that's a sacrament. It gives a physicality. It is God give, it's him accommodating our humanness, giving us something that we can feel, that we can taste, that we can smell, that we can touch, that we can experience. And when we come to the table in a greater way, the presence of Jesus is with us. It pricks the membrane of heaven and we have access like we don't usually have. I like to think about it like it's the wardrobe in Chronicles of Narnia. Is there anybody who loves the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? So there's four children who get to travel to this magical, different land, and they get there through a wardrobe. We're God's children, and we get to engage with heaven in a different way when we approach the table and the bread and the wine. There's something holy and sacred and supernatural in the sacraments. Jesus said, "This is my body. This is my blood." It's a portal of grace for us. So when we come to the table, we're in the presence of Jesus. When we come to the table, it's also a place to remember. One of my favorite childhood memories is at big holidays, sitting around big tables with extended family and listening to stories. My mom and her two brothers would talk and they'd tell funny stories on one another and about one another. And you always get such unique insights into people. And even just last night, we were celebrating my mom, and my brother and I were remembering this one time when they came home and we ran out from our bedrooms, which must have been so annoying. Every time we had a babysitter, we would stay in bed until our parents got home, and then we'd race down the hall to see them. And now as a parent, I'm like, that is so annoying. I'm glad my kids don't do that. But we'd race down and, you know, give them hugs and everything. And my parents would say, well, how did it go? How were they? And this one babysitter said, it was great. We just got finished watching The Simpsons, which would have been fun, except that we weren't allowed to watch The Simpsons. And so I remember my mom going, oh, you did. And John and I knew we were dead by morning. It was all over from there. I love sitting around the table. I love remembering and reflecting and bringing to the forefront things, fond memories of what was. Now, when the disciples gathered for this Last Supper, it was the Passover meal that they were celebrating. That's why they had gathered. They had gathered to remember the Passover. If you're not familiar with the story, you should go read it. Get the Bible app on your phone, look at Exodus 7 and continue reading. I think it's Exodus 7. Somebody help me out. I think so. And it's the story of how God delivered the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. He rose up a man named Moses to lead them out, and Moses went to their ruler, Pharaoh, who was ruthless and stubborn and wouldn't let the people go. And so God sent 10 plagues. It's the making of a great movie. The last plague, the worst one, was that the killing of every firstborn son throughout the entire land. But the Israelites had an out. They were told that if you kill a lamb and smear its blood across the doorpost, then the angel of death would pass over and spare that household. So it's not ironic and it's not coincidence that at this gathering, at this celebration where the blood had saved them from physical slavery, that Jesus foretells what's to come, that his blood will save them from spiritual slavery. Where the blood of the lamb, got them out of Egypt, the blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus, saved them from sin and death and continues to save us today. He was remembering and honoring what was, and he was pointing to what will be. He was building on his faithfulness, he was renewing his promise, and he was fulfilling it all right before them. The table is a place to remember. He says in every account, he says, do this in remembrance of me. We don't do this for fun. We do it because we're commanded to do it. We do it because Jesus told us to do it. He told us to remember. The word in Greek, it means to reenact. Not just to recall, but to reenact it, to draw it to the forefront of our thinking, to bring it front and center, because church, what it is that we focus on will form us. And so when we focus on the realities of the bread and the wine and all the benefits that it has for us, it will shape us into who we were meant and called to be. We come to the table to remember. Lastly, we come to the table to be filled, right? Isn't that why we come to the table? We come to eat. We come to fill our physical bodies. And notice that my first exhortation was that we come to unload. And the last is that we come to be filled. to be filled back up. John 6:35 says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He said this after he had fed thousands of people with physical food. But they wanted more. They wanted another trick. And he said, oh, no, the miracle's so much deeper than the provision of food. Come to me and you're never going to be hungry again. Come to me and I'll satisfy a hunger that is so much deeper than your body would ever recognize. Come to me and I'll fill you. In 1 Kings 18, there's a story about Elijah, who was a prophet of God. And he has the best day ever. The most glorious day ever. Through him, one of the most phenomenal miracles that we read about in Scripture came to be. 450 prophets of Baal died that day. They'd had a little duel, little competition. Whose God is real? Our God is real, family. So 450 men die at the command of Elijah. But then Jezebel, King Ahab's evil queen wife, says, I'm gonna kill you. And Elijah's terrified. And he runs. And he collapses underneath a tree. And he cries out to God. And he said, my ancestors are better than me. Kill me now, God. Talk about a quick descent. He just had the best day. But depression isn't logical. I think some of you understand that. And Elijah had sunk into a deep pit. So while he was sleeping, an angel of the Lord brought a loaf of bread and some water. He said, get up and eat. So Elijah ate it. Went back to sleep. Made him another loaf of bread, some more water. Angel comes back, says, get up and eat. So Elijah gets up and he eats. And then Scripture tells us that he went on the strength of that meal for 40 days and 40 nights. That's no regular bread. There's something supernatural in that meal. So what I felt like was the word for us today is that if you found yourself in that place where you're low and you can't find your way out and you can't even remember God's faithfulness from yesterday, you can't make yourself sing a song and you can't force yourself to pray, but could you get up and eat? Can you get up and eat? Can you just take a minute and take some bread? And take the wine and in faith, just eat and let God fill you. Let the body and the blood of Jesus fill you. We come to the table to be filled. I want you to go ahead and take your little Lunchable. And we're gonna pause on this, okay? We're not just gonna take it. So I just want you to get the wafer out, but don't take it yet. We're not gonna do this quick. We're gonna take a minute. And we're gonna put into practice these things that happen for us at the table. And so I want you to get comfortable. You can scooch down in your chair. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. And I'm just going to lead you through this time of a meditative time at the Lord's table. So close your eyes. And I just want you to picture a table before you. Doesn't need to be anything fancy. All that needs to be on it is some bread and some wine. Juice if the wine's offensive. Just picture the table. And as you approach it, just unload. Whatever it is that is weighing you down, whatever it is that's heavy on your mind and your heart, whatever it is that's grieving you, perhaps it's a habit that you have that you just can't seem to shake, just lay it down right now. Lay down the guilt. Lay down any shame. Lay down all the things that happened last week that you wish would have gone differently. Lay down all the things that you're anxious about that's coming up this week. Take a deep breath. Lay them down. And now I want you to acknowledge the presence of Jesus at the table with you. He's with you. He's here. The presence of Jesus is here with you right now. He's looking at you. His eyes are full of love and mercy, compassion, grace. He's overwhelmed by his love for you. Just look in his eyes and rest in his eyes. Now I want you to remember. Remember what he did for you on the cross. He did it for you. He did it for you. Remember that he took every sin. He took every broken part of your life, of your body, and he carried them and he held them on the cross. You owe nothing. You have no debt. If you've confessed Jesus as Lord, remember how he pursued you. Remember how he came after you and he saved you. Remember his love for you, his faithfulness. And now, this little wafer isn't going to fill your physical belly. But Jesus is the bread of life, and he will fill you completely. So I invite you to take the bread. Jesus, we take your body. We receive the bread of life and your provision for us. We receive your promise of faithfulness that you will be with us today and always, that you have filled us and you will fill us and you'll fill us again and you'll fill us again and again. Jesus, we receive the reality that you don't want us sputtering to the finish line, but that right now, here in this place, is a provision for us to be filled to overflowing. And I invite you to take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. They no longer define you. You are free and clean and whole. Jesus, we thank you for your body. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your presence here with us today. God, I pray over each person in the room and watching right now that they would come to the table, that they'd stay at the table, and that we would walk in the fullness of all that we get at your table. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good job, church. Our ministry team will be at the front. If you want prayer for anything at all, I invite you to come. If you need to take another minute to just rest in God's presence, I invite you to do so. Otherwise, you are free to go and enjoy God's table. I love you guys. We'll see you next week.